This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It is a very different topic today. We are talking about the next generation of triathletes. Triathlon is a growing youth and junior sport, and today we will explore the world of coaching, racing, and involving your kids in youth triathlon. Now, I would have absolutely outright refused to do this episode without my first guest. It is our founder and CEO, Jeff Buer. Jeff is the chief architect behind TriDot's Insight Optimization technology that powers TriDot training. He's a multiple Ironman finisher who has coached dozens of professional triathletes and national champions, as well as hundreds of age groupers to podiums and PRs since he began coaching in 2003. He coached the Tri for Him Junior Elite Tri Team from 2010 to 2021, producing five youth and junior national champions along the way. Now, Jeff, you and I actually met each other through youth triathlon, so I know firsthand your passion for this topic. Are you excited to talk about it?
Super excited. Yep, we've had many, many, many hours on deck together.
Very true. Mostly me just trying to learn from you and admire the fast kids in the pool. They're certainly faster than I am. Also with us for this is TJ Tollickson from Diamond Bikes. TJ is the owner of Diamond Bicycles and the founder and CEO of Rooster Sports. He raced in the pro field for 16 years and has two Ironman victories, one North America Championship title, and many more pro podium finishes on his resume. He studied industrial engineering at the University of Iowa and now brings his love of triathlon and engineering prowess into creating the most advanced bikes on the planet. He is the head coach of the Z3 Tri Team out of Des Moines, Iowa. Now, TJ, you are normally here to talk to us about bicycles in some capacity. Different topic for you today, huh?
Yeah, it's different. It's all intertwined, though. We've got kids and kids' bikes and kids' triathlon, and I've got three kids myself, so it's all related. So we don't have work-life balance. We've got work-life integration, and this is all part of it.
Making his debut on the TriDot podcast today to round out our trio of youth and junior coaches is TriDot coach Ryan Knopfel. Ryan ran cross-country in high school and college, and he first gave triathlon a try back in the late 1990s. He served the United States Armed Forces as an Army Ranger until 2004. He is now an infantry officer for the Army National Guard, where he currently is a battalion operations officer. He has been coaching with TriDot since the beginning of 2023 and is a seasoned triathlete himself with experience at all of the distances. The highlight of his tri career thus far came through representing the All-Army Triathlon Team in 2023. Now, Ryan, you and I have chatted many times at the races, but this is your first time on the microphone for the podcast. Thanks so much for joining this chat.
Yeah, thank you. Excited to be here.
Well, I am Andrew, the average triathlete, voice of the people, and captain of the middle of the pack. As always, we'll roll through our warm-up question, settle in for our main set conversation, and then wind things down with Vanessa taking over to host our cool down. TriDot Pool School is the best way for triathletes to learn proper swim form. The TriDot coaching team spent years on the pool deck crafting functional freestyle, and it has already helped hundreds of triathletes improve their swim by an average of 12%. As soon as an athlete registers for TriDot Pool School, they are given access to the TriDot Academy, where a series of dry land exercises help build crucial muscle memory long before the in-person weekend. The weekend workshop is an engaging blend of instruction, demonstrations, and drills, with frequent breaks to rest and reflect. You'll be grouped with swimmers of similar ability and taught step-by-step how to turn your muscle memory into full-stroke swimming that's smooth and fast. TriDot Pool School is for everyone. We've had entry-level triathletes, back-of-the-packers, mid-packers, some elite age groupers, and even a couple of pro triathletes attend. Ready to jump in? There are pool schools available all over the country and around the world. Head to tryout.com/pool-school and sign up today.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
No matter how virtuous, organized, and well-intentioned a triathlete that you are, even the best among us have multi-sport-related bad habits. No one's perfect, y'all. They may be teeny tiny bad habits, or they could be a real big problem of a bad habit. Regardless, they belong to us, and this is a safe space for us all to own them. So guys, for our warm-up question today, what is your triathlon bad habit? And Coach Ryan, it's your first time on the show, so I'm going to throw you into the fire. Kick us off here. What is your tri-bad habit?
All right. I love food and all food. So that, sure. That's the worst habit I have. If there's food in front of me, I'm going to eat it. So portion control, snacks are in the house, so I'm going to town. So that is probably my worst bad habit is I love to eat.
Yeah, and it's great that you can sum up your tri-bad habit in one word. All you have to say is food, and we understand like the rest. That's it. Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of people nodding their heads and relating to you there. TJ Tollickson, what is your tri-bad habit?
Yeah, so my bad habit over my career is really open water swimming / wetsuit swimming. So my one kind of regret from my career was I didn't spend enough time swimming in a wetsuit and swimming in open water. You know, there's a huge percentage of races that, you know, everyone wears a wetsuit. And so if you're not training with a wetsuit, you're not doing yourself justice. And it's hard because I came from a swimming background and I feel like a lot of swimmers are like this, but, especially in race prep, you've got to do it. So, these are things that I try to make amends for as a coach and, just make up for it, right? Make sure that all the kids that I coach are practicing appropriately.
So trying to make those amends, how often or are your kids on the tri team in their wetsuits for some open water swim practice?
Because I just coach the little kids, they actually don't use the wetsuits, but we open water swim every practice we have. And so that was a big thing. You know, when I took over the program, swimming was not involved in regular practice. Because the thought was, oh, these kids just are on the swim team and you know, they don't need extra swimming. The truth is open water swimming is basically a different sport from pool swimming. And so if you're not practicing open water swimming, you're not getting better. And so I don't have my kids in wetsuits yet, but they open water swim all the time. And I think that's a super important skill for young kids to learn.
Already kind of dipping our toe into today's topic there a little bit. Jeff Boer, what is your try bad habit?
I'm going to take this in a little bit different direction. Say my try bad habit was just taking things for granted too often and not just being grateful for the health, the time, my wife who had let me invest the time in the kids and,
yeah,
you know, all the things that it takes to be a triathlete. That's a big commitment. And so just being grateful to be there and for all those that kind of allow it to happen.
Guys, we're going to throw this question out to you, our audience, like we always do. Make sure you're a part of the I Am Tri-Dot Facebook group. Every single Monday when the new episode comes out, we pose this question to you. So let us know. This is a safe space, guys. What is your tri-bad habit?
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
I was 27 years old when I raced my first local sprint triathlon. And hot dog, did I immediately fall in love with the sport and wish that I had known about it when I was younger. I would wager that a good majority of our audience found triathlon as adults and share a similar sentiment with me. Well, thankfully, youth and junior triathlon is definitely a thing. It is definitely a growing sport. And today, we're going to learn what it's like to coach and parent the next generation of triathletes, of the three of you on this podcast. Jeff, you coached youth tri for many years, 21 years, in fact, and TJ, you are coaching it right now with your kids. Now, did you both start coaching when your kids got into the sport, or did your kids get into the sport because you were coaching? This is a real chicken or the egg question, but Jeff, for you, when did you kind of start coaching youth tri?
My kids were young. My daughter was kind of recreational on the first year of the team. My boys started, I think, year one, too. So they were about that age, and I was working with another coach, another Tri-Dot coach in the area, and he had a daughter. So it was, I've seen that quite a bit. A lot of coaches start off their parents, their coaches, and then they start a team just so that their kids have people to do triathlon with.
Yeah. Did you intend on it growing to the size that it did and just having dozens of youth that were kind of under your care? Or was it just, I want to get my kids into the sport and shepherd them through it?
More the first. We knew we wanted to have a team. It wasn't just about my kids for sure. And his daughter was about to go off to college. So he had a passion for kids. He'd worked in baseball, umpire and coach, and that kind of part of his career was over. So we both had a passion for youth and kids in the sport. So we knew we wanted it to be some size, but we kind of didn't know what we were getting into at the time. So we had a lot of learning, big learning curve there for a few years.
Now, TJ, you said you started your career at age 5 and you were not very competitive. You obviously got more and more competitive as you got older, enough to become a professional triathlete. At what point did you transition to coaching youth tri? Was it when your kiddos came along and got interested?
No, I first got involved. Jenny Weber and Craig Hankin started the Z3 Triathlon program 15 okay. years ago and in Des Moines. And I was a pro at that time. And so I knew Jenny and Craig really well. And so I started doing camps and clinics with those kids at that time. And I've always had some involvement with Z3 throughout my entire career. It's been pretty limited. And then once my own kids became age to become triathletes, race age 6, that's when I started coaching. That's when I took the program over. And yeah, there's no looking back now.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And Ryan, your involvement with Youth Tri is a little bit different. I mean, you are a Tri-Dot coach. You coach adult triathletes, and you're a very successful age group triathlete yourself. You're certainly qualified to coach youth triathlon if you really wanted to, but you have chosen to be just a youth tri parent, leaving the coaching of your daughter to someone else. Why is that the path that you've taken with your daughter's tri journey?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it's unique to everybody. And with Emily and her wanting to train and her competitiveness and whatnot, it was kind of a challenge to coach her myself. We started doing some run stuff alone, but dad doesn't know what he's talking about. You're not an expert at this. And so we started looking elsewhere, and friends that were in the sport, talked to them, and eventually found some local coaches in Orlando. I'm from Orlando, and the area here is filled with some great coaches, and we got hooked up with a great team. And probably the best thing, best choice we made is getting her associated with them. And then really it's when she goes to practice, she's with other kids, which makes it fun. Practice with daddy is just practice. It's not as fun,
Yeah.
So, and at the end of the day with the kids, we want to make it fun for them. And if they're not having fun, they're not going to stick with the sport and they're going to choose something else that they think is fun. So, being fun, being with other kids, like-minded children as well, that's where it was. That's what makes it for her. And she's flourished with it. And it's pretty impressive watching her now.
Yeah. My first awareness of her ability, I was in Daytona for at the time Challenge Daytona. Now it's Clash Daytona. And that's when I first met you for the first time through some mutual friends. You did quite well in the middle distance yourself, but your daughter now, she won Clash Daytona, the sprint triathlon against all of the adults. She won the race. I'm curious. So hearing you talk about how, dad doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, TJ, do you find with your kids, do they ever not want to listen to dad, or do they just buy into, are they young enough to buy into what you have to say?
No, all the time. It's dad doesn't know what he's talking about. The thing that helps them is I'm surrounded by all these people that are reminding them, no, if anybody knows, your dad knows. And so then they're kind of like, well, yeah, maybe. But at home, he doesn't know anything. So while I coach, there's enough people around that convince them that I know what I'm talking about. But yeah, it's a battle. I think that's a hard part. Every parent who's coached their own child knows what that's like. And it stems from the fact that, you know, when it's your child, they know that you unconditionally love them. And so they can get away with things these other kids can't. And so that's always a challenge. But so far in triathlon practice, my kids have been pretty good.
Yeah. And Jeff, your sons, Grant and Jake, are their swim form is so polished from the years under your tutelage that they are examples of proper swim form on deck at Tri-Dot Pool School. So if anybody attends a Tri-Dot Pool School, 99% of the time, the athlete in the water demonstrating the proper drills are Grant and Jake Boer, your sons. Did they ever, and Courtney ever, did they fight you at all in practice along the way, or do they just kind of always trust that you knew what you were doing?
For the most part, they trusted, but there were those times for sure. I had an arrangement with some of my assistant coaches where their kids were on the team too, so we would kind of trade, and they would tell my kids to do things that when I wasn't getting through, and I'd do the same for their kids, and so it worked out pretty well. But that's to be expected. That's just part of growing up.
Now, triathlon is always triathlon, but within our sport, there's kind of different subcultures. I mean, the vibe at a local sprint is very different from the vibe at a full distance race, which is different from the vibe at Xterra, which is different from the vibe at youth and junior events. So talk to us guys about youth triathlon as a whole. Just what is the structure of youth racing? What are the big events that kids are going to? What are the age group ranges? You know, how is that all structured around in terms of who you're racing against? Just talk to us about what triathlon looks like at the youth and junior level. And Jeff Boer, I'll let you launch us off on this one.
That's a great question. I think parents, if they want to kind of check out that this scene, is find the nearest local, especially draft legal race, and go check it out and see it. There's so much that you can see that we could never express here. But basically, you know, they can start age group very young, 6, 7, depends on those local sprints. And it's very age appropriate, very fun. When they get up to in the more competitive, starts at 13. It's called elite racing. It's draft legal racing, like the Olympic style, where you're drafting on the bike. It's a set, you know, you have 75. The field is limited to 75. They all start at the same time off a dock or a beach or, you know, pier. They all jump in the water, swim, draft legal bike, and then a run. Their youth, when we say youth, that's 13 to 15 years old. Junior is 16 to 19. So we say youth and junior. And so I know those are kind of used interchangeably, typically in normal language, but youth is 13 to 19. And then youth elite is the draft legal, and then junior elite. That means draft legal racing. And then there's a lot of other races that are just non-draft, just youth races, junior races, where they have normal age group, kind of time trial start one after another. On the competitive series, that youth elite and junior elite races starts at 13. They have 5 or 6 qualifiers throughout the year, different parts of the country. And so athletes you have to sign up again at 75 youth girls, 75 youth boys, 75 junior girls, and 75 junior boys. So 300 athletes for the weekend, all different races. They compete in 4 or 5 of those. They take the top, I don't know, 12, 15, 20, it depends on where it rolls down from each of those races to make up the national field. So at nationals every year, first weekend in August, typically all of those kids from around the country, whoever qualified, goes and competes head to head. So that's kind of the lay of the land.
Now, Ryan, your daughter at age 16 is, at the time we're recording this podcast, is neck deep in the junior elite kind of division of what Jeff just broke down. So what does her kind of race schedule look like currently in this year, 2023?
Yeah, so she just wrapped up her season. Nationals was a week and a half ago. So yeah, first year at the junior level, she aged up. So a bit humbling for her early on, but she actually had a great season. Actually pulled out a win in Pittsburgh for one of the races. So that was pretty exciting.
Yay!
But yeah, so it involved starts in March timeframe, and Claremont has a they call it a draft legal festival. Occasionally they get some pros to come in and race as well. This year they didn't have a pro race, but race in Claremont. Following weekend is in Sarasota for an America's Cup, which is a international type event with mainly North America and South America countries representing there. And then from there, the next race was, I want to say, end of April, beginning of May in Richmond. Then it goes to Wisconsin, Pittsburgh, West Des Moines, and then Nationals was in Milwaukee. So it's a busy summer traveling around.
So TJ, coaching the younger kids, which is where your kiddos are at the moment, you know, you're less neck deep in the competitive travel schedule and more with the younger kids. You know, what does the race scene look like kind of in that more let's go have fun with triathlon age group? Is it as much travel? Is it more close to home? What's kind of the vibe at the races for the younger kids?
We're fortunate to have this series, and there's usually four or five of these Rip Roar races, and then we have a couple other like non-Rip Roar series races in the area too, just communities that put on kids triathlons. One of them has a pool swim, one of them's at a lake. And so there's almost a race every weekend all summer. And again, these are kids from 6 all the way to 15 years of age. And so some of these kids are racing 2 races in a weekend. So on the West Des Moines, a bunch of these kids will do both races. And then some of the kids, because they're not as strong swimmers, don't do well in draft legal events, will only race age group. And then, of course, some of the best elite athletes will just do the draft legal racing. They don't want to mess around with the non-draft racing. So, yeah, that's what the series looks like. So for us, you know, of course, the USAT Nationals is a big part of it. That starts at race age 7. And so as soon as you're race age 7, there's a 7 to 10 category, and then there's an 11 to 13 category, maybe just 11, 12, because then it's draft legal, right? So that's most of the kids that we have that are doing the race series.
TJ, I'm curious when you're coaching kids at that age, and Jeff mentioned a little earlier, you know, for the Try For Him junior team, you know, the emphasis at that age is enjoying the sport, having some fun with the sport. What does practice look like, TJ, at that age? What are the kinds of things you're doing when your kids get together?
Yeah, so for the youngest kids, it's pretty much the same thing. We work a lot on skills, right? So the total volume of training is small. So my youngest kids, my 6 and 7 year olds, they are limited to 1 practice a week. We meet on Monday nights. We do a swim, and we typically do a multi-loop swim. So we do beach entries, beach exits, and a little bit of swimming, right? And so we work on dolphin diving, running into the water, running out of the water. And so like my littlest kids will do 2 laps of a little rectangle in open water. And I never put those kids in water where they can't touch, so they feel comfortable. But again, it's not focused on swimming a huge amount of distance. It's working on the skills for triathlon. And then we'll transition, hop on the bike. We usually do about a 4-mile bike, even though those youngest kids are really only going to race like 2 miles on the bike in their race. It's amazing what bike training does for these young kids. And so going on these 4-mile bike rides really helps them progress through that. But it's not just biking, right? So in that 4 miles, we're doing 4 mounts and dismounts. So they're riding a mile, and then they're dismounting their bike, and then they're mounting their bike again, right? And so it's really cool because you'll watch some pro triathletes that will just absolutely have no idea what they're doing on a flying mount, and I can show you a 6-year-old kid that can teach them how to do it.
Yeah,
and it just comes down to practice, right? And so they're biking 4 miles, but again, it's 1 mile and a mount and a dismount. And then we'll transition one last time for a run, and we almost always, those kids, we do a 1/2-mile run. And I start the youngest kids first, and then the older kids chase them. And so I found out no matter what you do with these young kids on the run, they always end up racing on the run. And for a 1/2 mile, I don't really care. So that's practice. That's what we do. And then we always end practice. Z3, we have 7 pillars of character that define the club and athletes. And so we always talk about the 7 pillars, and we talk about each individual pillar on one night, and the kids learn about life and triathlon and goal setting and everything else that we have to do. And so it's awesome. And we continue down this theme of triathlon is hard and it's not for everybody. And so it's fun and it can be social, but at the end of it, it's hard work, and pushing yourself is hard and challenging. And that's the joy in doing it. And I ask them all the time, I said, this is hard. Why do we do hard things? And the answer is to become better. So if you want to be better at anything in life, do hard things. And that's what's so cool about youth triathlon is it's a group of these like-minded kids that are choosing to do hard things. And, you know, it's probably the most exciting thing about the future generation.
Yeah. And Jeff Boer, I know for you as well with the Try For Him youth teams, I was on hand in first person that there was always, you know, character development components to that the times you were talking with the kids and coaching the kids and building that into the practice schedule and what was being done and said. And so for Try For Him, I know you personally coached the junior elite team, the older kids. I know there was younger kids that you interacted with and kind of oversaw as well. So Jeff, maybe start with the younger kids and kind of tell us, was there anything that they did in their practices in addition to what TJ mentioned? And then maybe talk to us about what your personal practices look like with the older generation.
Sure. No, everything he said, we did the exact same philosophy. I mean, that was our format, keeping it fast and fun, skills oriented when they're young. We used to tease them, you know, or always tease that, you know, fast is fun, but faster is funner. So really have that fast mentality. One of the things that we have that they sometimes bring in from parents is a mentality that further is better. Ironman, it's all about distance. And, you know, if you can be 13 and do an Olympic distance, and as soon as I'm 17, I'm doing a half or a, you know, just getting away from that, the sense that these short, fast races are mini or somehow diminished in some capacity, you know, a mile or 100 meter, you know, Usain Bolt's not a mini marathoner. He's not just doing this little bitty mini, you know, it's a different race and it's very fast. And so really keeping them focused on the skills, the power, the fundamentals. But our younger, you know, a lot of games we played in their bike handling skills. As they got older, a lot of the same things like Ryan mentioned earlier, the fun factor, they love doing it together. They become very social. And so it's very important to incorporate that kind of thing. So figuring out how do they get their own personal work, what they need to do. But then also do it together. And we had usually three rides a week that we did together, through four runs, three swims. We didn't do where they were all in swim teams. We did all the workouts together, swim, bike, and run. And we had the most fun probably on the bike workouts. We have a Texas Motor Speedway where it's a 5-mile loop and around the speedway. So we weren't on the track itself, but outside the complex of the parking lot. But we did all kinds of fun stuff there, a lot of handling, a lot of crit style racing, a lot of drafting. One of the funnest thing that they loved, we did it a few different ways, but we did team pursuit to where I would group them in 2, 3, or 4 and pace, and I'd know how strong those riders were. And so they have to work together to do this 5-mile loop. They go 3 times around, so it might be a 15-mile workout. But I would start the slower group first, and they might get a 3-minute lead. And then the next one, a minute and a half, and then another minute. And so there might be 15 minutes between the fastest group and the slower ones, but they have to work together. And sometimes one kid in their strategies, all they have to do is hang on. Don't pull any, just hang on. The other two have to go as fast as they can, but bring the other along with them. And they just love that because toward the end, I was kind of good at knowing how fast the kids were, but they'd be all finishing within about a minute or two of each other. And they can kind of see them in the distance and kind of working in the next group. And so they had that teamwork. They're always, you know, from week to week, they may be a stronger one of the ones pulling. They may be one of the ones just doing everything they can to hang on. So the younger ones get to be with the older ones. And it was really cool. A lot of bike handling and fun doing those workouts.
Ryan, I'm curious for Emily. I know in your bio, when you kind of talked about getting into the sport and Emily getting into the sport, you know, she came to you. Hey, I think I want triathlon to be the sport that I do. You know, what age was that for her, and what has her kind of training and development looked like from then until now?
Yeah. So she had done triathlons, like I was saying before. I want to say similar to TJ, I think she was 4, like just turned 4, like a week outside of her 4th birthday. Had little water wings on her for the swim. So cute. She crosses the line and is like, "Daddy, mommy, can I do that again?" Like, that's awesome. So every year we did the same race. But yeah, she was growing up, she was doing tumbling and like a gymnastics type thing, trampoline and tumbling. And then one day she was just like, "Yeah, I think I want to pursue running and triathlon and not do the gymnastics stuff anymore." So
it worked out for you and your interests. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Got me here now, you know? But yeah, it was very interesting. You know, finding coaches, I think, is really key. Finding coaches that specialize and know how to work with youth athletes. There's a lot out there that great coaches, but all they know is the long distance stuff, the Ironman, half Ironman, Olympic. You know, what the kids are doing is not anywhere close to that. And to Jeff's point about, or I'm sorry, TJ's point about the mounting the bike and doing flying mounts. Well, that's costing, you know, and these youth and junior elite races, that's positions. That's a place at the end of the race because they're that close together. So finding coaches that actually specialize in it is key. And we've been very fortunate to have done that.
Yeah, I'd say with the kids, just so the listeners can appreciate this, it's not just that it's a second or two or three faster. It's when they're coming out of the swim and the bike packs are leaving, people are going. If you miss a bike pack, that's going to make 2 or 3 minutes difference.
Yeah.
That's a strong group going ahead. And if you didn't get in that draft, you're gone and you're going to have to wait for the next one. So it can have big consequence.
TJ, is that a skill you work on with your kids?
Yeah, all of them. All my kids down to my youngest, you know, race age 6, my 5-year-olds were constantly working on those mounts and dismounts. And again, like to Jeff's point, you could see which kids have grown up with that and which kids haven't. You know, the sport seems like it's unskilled, right? That, oh yeah, it's swimming, biking, and running. Like, yeah, let's leave that sport for adults and not teach that to kids. And on the contrary, it's actually highly skilled. These kids are very proficient at it. And there's also, you know, an aerobic, an anaerobic component to every workout you're doing. But I also like to keep all my families aware that triathlon's not a, you have to dive headfirst into it, right? Like you don't have to be all in triathlon. And I know these other guys know this too, right? There are kids that do triathlon and then swimming, or triathlon, swimming and running, or triathlon and running. There are also kids that play baseball, that play football, that just do other sports. And so you don't need to look at it as like, oh, well, my kid plays basketball, so they're not really going to benefit from doing triathlon. On the contrary, I think every kid could benefit massively from doing some triathlon training, completing a triathlon. And I say the biggest thing that you get from it is every parent will love to watch their own kid do a triathlon, cross the finish line, and then have this huge new self-confidence about what they just did themselves. And I think that's the biggest takeaway every parent could have from it. And so I'd say to anybody who's listening saying, yeah, I don't know if this is right for my kid, trust me, it is right for your kid, because your kid's confidence will just go through the roof after they do this.
Yeah, TJ, that's definitely something I wanted to touch on today, and you've already brought it up very, very beautifully. And so I want to hear what Ryan and Jeff think about this theme as well. For triathlon, what really sets it apart as a special sport to involve your kiddos in versus some of the other things that they might get into? And that was a very beautifully poetic some thoughts there from TJ. Jeff, what do you think?
I think there's a number of things. And of course, I was telling parents about this, you know, throughout, you know, a decade, a little bit more. And some of these are benefits that maybe you don't get into it because of it, but it's just kind of fringe benefits. So one is there's an epic nature to being a triathlete. It's just so cool. We've noticed even when applying to colleges, you know, there's a lot of basketball players, baseball players, swimmers, a lot of different sports. But when you say I'm a triathlete, I qualified for nationals 5 years, and it stands out. It's something that they're really proud of. I think there's a lot of versatility in it because they're doing different things. It's not any one thing. So they have to be very well-rounded. It does take a lot of time. So when they, you know, as they get more competitive, so they're managing their time. They're, here's when I study, here's when I eat, here's when I recover. It teaches them a lot of life skills. I think because nutrition is a big piece, it pulls in that. There's a lot of sports, so you don't really have to watch what you eat. But a lot of our kids were naturally watching what they ate. They wanted to fuel well. They wanted to eat good stuff. The most important thing that I think, though, is three, and you have triathlon, but swimming, biking, and running are things that you can do for your entire life. You know, I'm not going to be playing baseball or basketball. There's a lot of things that at some point you start pulling muscles and twisting things, but they can do any of those for their entire life, just, you know, activities. So to be confident, proficient in those is just, it's huge. And so I know even, you know, my kids have been able to benefit from all those things. And I see, you know, our kids that have been on the team, a lot of them are 30. We had a couple come to TriDot, you know, getting back into triathlon in their 30s that I, you know, coached 13 years ago. So it's really cool.
Yeah. Ryan, how about for you? Just firsthand experience, what difference do you think it's made for Emily versus some other interest or sport she could have passed, she could have gone down?
Yeah. I think probably one of the, from my perspective, one of the coolest things is the friendships that they've made. So these kids, super highly competitive, but they love one another. And she's friends with kids from Virginia, Iowa, South Dakota, Texas, you know, people she would never have been exposed to or friends with without going to these races. And everybody's super friendly. You know, show up to the start line or at the finish line, it's hugs everywhere. And, you know, they're all on Snapchat and Instagram and, you know, trading phone numbers and constantly texting one another in the off season and staying in touch. It's really cool to see that camaraderie amongst them. You know, at the end of the day, they all want to beat one another. But when you get to the finish line, you know, maybe you were 10th that day and you wanted to win, but you're happy for the girl that won. So it's that aspect of it is really awesome.
Jeff and TJ, for both of you, just in your time coaching, kind of moving us from the talking about coaching kids into how to get your kids involved in the sport. But I want to hear from both of you first on from your time coaching. And Jeff, I'll start with you in your 21-year career. What is maybe a single standout moment that you look back on just as one of your most proud moments from your time, most rewarding moments from your time coaching?
I'll give you a twofer here. It's kind of a two-part story.
Okay, deal.
And there's a lot of the highlights for sure, but we were doing one race. It was our kids were, you know, doing nationals and all this stuff. After the season was over, there's kind of a local race. It was kind of a regional championship race, but for our kids, it was like not a huge challenge. But I'm out there on the course, cheering, the kids along and, run course. And one of the dads comes running up to me and says, Grant needs to take a minute off his time. Grant needs to take at least a minute off his time. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's all frantic. And he tells me this story that Grant on the bike was around this building, this other part of the course that you could hardly see. And, kind of there, you know, back there and there's no one to help, no one, but he happened to be around there and some girl, her chain came off. And Grant went by her, stopped, turned around, came back, put her chain on for her. She got off, he went off. And so he was just saying it took at least, you know, 60 to 90 seconds. And just that he would do that, that was his instinct to do it, was so cool. And we talk about the character building and all of these different things, you know, it's pretty easy to make triathlon just all about us. But that he did that. And then we found out later the parents found out what happened on their drive home. They were like 6-hour drive from here. And they found out the story of what happened and they called the race director and they eventually got back to us and they just said, thank you and such. But kind of fast forward to one of those races that Ryan mentioned earlier, I think it was West Des Moines, actually right there in TJ's neck of the woods, but there's a qualifier, that's the last qualifier for nationals and Grant, same son, was racing there. And we always tell the kids to work together, pull, like take turns. So they're going to be faster. They don't work too hard. So they have a great run. And he keeps coming back every lap and he's behind this other teammate of ours, Jacob Shepherd. And Jacob's pulling and Grant's drafting the whole time. It's like, yo, work together. And like, they're not doing what they're told. And Jacob's dad's going, come on, work together. Jacob, you know, let him pull, like get whatever. And after the race, Grant qualifies, he has a great run and Jacob suffered on the run. And I said, what's going on? I said, great race. Congratulations. But why didn't you help Jacob? Why was he pulling? And he goes, dad, he wouldn't let me. He said I would pull. And he goes, and Jacob said, I've already qualified, but you haven't qualified. I'm going to pull you around this thing so you can have the best run of your life and qualify for nationals. So in the middle of a race, this 15-year-old has the presence of mind to help his teammate sacrifice his own race because he'd already qualified for nationals and just help Grant. Do that. So, you know, I just think that's wonderful when we have an environment when even during races, you know, where we're helping each other, aware of other people and seeing how our training, our racing, everything is just such an encouragement and how we can just help other people be better people. Anyway, so those are kind of two of the things that just stand out that I'll never forget.
TJ, for you, what is just kind of a most rewarding moment from your youth coaching career thus far?
Yeah, it's all these things that Jeff's talking about. It's these small things that these kids pick up on. But I'll give a good example of this last night is last night of practice, we had a bike crash, and nobody likes having bike crashes. And every time we have a bike crash, we get more lectures about safety. And hey guys, we need to make sure we're being safe because, you know, we've got one race left this weekend and we can't be crashing on the bike. We have to make sure we're doing this. And I'm not asking anybody to point out who caused this, what happened, but without even saying anything, I know what happened because the person that caused the crash is the one that goes back and asks this person if they're okay and if they need help. And so it's like right away, you're instilling these character traits in these individuals, and they're showing them in real time. And so like, that's the most rewarding thing. And it's that teamwork that Jeff's talking about. It's when you see these kids and they know how to set goals, they know how to be safe, they know how to be accountable, respectful, have humility in their life. It's just a super empowering part of youth sports. And I'm not saying they can't get that from playing football or basketball or any other sport, right? But it's a little bit different when they're in triathlon and they're in this individual sport that's also a team. They're really being called out and forced to show what they have to bring to the table. And because of that, I think they're all better served in life because of that.
Yeah. And then obviously pitching this over to you, Ryan, as a parent, with your kiddo, racing at a elite level at the moment. What is this answer for you as a parent? Just most rewarding moment, watching your daughter do youth tri.
We were talking about Daytona last year, so we called it the Kenefly Clash at Daytona. So Emily and I went head to head in the sprint. We set it up to where we started in the water at the exact same time on the rolling start, so that way we knew whoever crossed the line first was the winner. So I knew she would get me in the swim, and then my hope was the bike. So I caught her on the bike. It took me a lot longer than I expected to. Finally caught her, and I was hoping I had a big enough gap going into the run to hold her off because she's pretty quick. And sure enough, on the run, she about mile and a half into it, she passes me. Another boy running with her, and he actually had made a wrong turn on the bike. Not sure how you do that when it was on a speedway and it's just an oval, but somehow sure, he made the wrong turn. But he knows Emily, that they both race in the youth and junior series together. And so he was running with her. I don't know this for sure, but my assumption is he was pacing her so she could beat me, or to help her beat me. But yeah, she comes by me.
That's awesome.
I try to hung as long as I could, made it about 2 miles, and then she was gone. So that was the first race she officially beat me. So that's kind of my humbling moment, but also probably one of my proudest moments as a parent and seeing her hard work come to fruition.
Yeah, very cool. I'll be curious to see how long it takes TJ's kids to try to get faster than him. I know he's still pretty quick and pretty competitive at the local races in Des Moines. So for anyone in our audience who has been listening to this and they have little to medium sized people in their own house under the age of 18, of course, who might be interested in introducing those kids to youth triathlon, you know, what is the best way to go about doing this and finding out, is this a sport my kids might be interested in, and how to even go about getting them their first crack at triathlon? TJ, what do you think?
There's several ways to go about this. So one, you can just bring up your computer, your phone, do a Google search for youth triathlon in my area. See what pops up. You can sign up to do a triathlon. We've got a cool thing right now. We actually had some parents that donated the race this weekend in Iowa. All first-time kids get to do this race for free, right? So we have some initiatives and things like this. So to try to bring first-time athletes into the sport, but you don't need to join the team before you do your first race, okay? And so this is a big one that I have to people. It's like your kid can do the race, do one of these youth races without joining a team. Now, I'll say it's perfectly fine to do the other way around too, right? Because if your kid joins the team and then does the race, they're going to have a lot more confidence going into the race. But whatever route you choose, like, the kid's going to have an unbelievable experience with it. And I see very few kids that do one triathlon and say, I never want to do another one. Okay. It might not be their thing. They might be like, hey, I need to do 100 of these a year. But very few do one and say, no, I never want to do that again. Because even when you have a bad thing, and we know this as adults, right? It's like you cross the finish line of an Ironman and you're like, ooh, I don't know if I could do that again. I don't know if I want to do that again. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, you know, maybe I'll go to Arizona for my next race. And so kids are no different.
Absolutely.
You know, is they're thinking about the adversity, and then they think about overcoming this adversity. And it just, it brings out these endorphins and these positive memories and experiences. And then they think, how can I get this fix again? And so, you can either search USA Triathlon for events. You can do a Google search for youth triathlons, because there's a lot of unsanctioned youth events that happen as well. But you can also look at USA Triathlon's list of clubs and find the nearest club to you, or reach out to them and get some training in before. So, Jeff, what did I miss?
That pretty much summed it up.
Nice.
It varies a lot by where you are in the country.
Yeah, that's true.
How many races there are. On USAT site, they have it's a thing called High Performance Team, HPT, and those are the ones that are doing the more elite draft legal racing. So they have a list of those there. But I completely agree with just get your kids to a race. Just let them do one. No pressure. We have a race here in town, kids race. They don't even time it. They just say, come have fun, get through it. And if your kids are more competitive, same thing, just go to a national qualifier, find one and just go watch it, go observe and see what it's about. It's so exciting, just to see it. And there's this whole other world of racing that a lot of, you know, it just opens their eyes. They go, wow, I can do that. You know, it's really cool.
So Jeff, a question I see every so often on the TriDot chat forums is, can youth and junior athletes use TriDot for their training? Usually it is a TriDot parent, right? It's an adult using TriDot and they want to get their teenager or their youth and junior athlete on TriDot to do the same training they are. What is the answer to this occasionally asked question? It's not a frequently asked question. I'm going to call it an occasionally asked question.
Well, it's a great question. I love it. So I have used TriDot for youth and juniors. Let me give you the lay of the land. It depends is the answer. One is the algorithms are geared toward adults. And there's not really a way to see the hormone changes and all of the adolescence. And there's periods where, you know, the kids are growing 3-4 inches in a few months and energy needs are different. And that's, it varies from person to person, year and age. And so all of that static, you know, or knowable, predictable as you get older. But when you go through that period, you know, the 11, 12, 13 to 18, 19, those things change. So from that standpoint, it doesn't take those things into account. There's some real life, just very practical things. So I guess it would be what are your other options? If your other option is a template plan or a static plan or a, you know, something like that, absolutely use TriDot. If it's working with a group of athletes and a team and a local, that's much better for a number of reasons. One is social is so important for kids that age. It's just the fun factor, doing it with their peers. We've had kids that they don't work out if they're not doing it with their friends. They just won't do it. And so some of it is individual personality, the athlete, the adolescence. Another thing is the schedule. A lot of times they're doing other events and we want them to do other events. Let's say other sports, basketball and all these other things. And sometimes we work them in so that they're doing that. We're aware and the AI will certainly get that workload. Depends on, you know, if they're tracking, if they're running cross country or swimming, that's great. But sometimes when we plan a workout, hey, you're supposed to do the very important workout on Friday, and then they do something completely in school that day, and they show up and say, hey, my coach made me do this. And, you know, that kind of stuff now, that has that impact. And so it's better if they can be on a plan or with a team working in that environment. So there's just a number of different things. We've had most of the times that we've used it, it's been when athletes were remote. They didn't live close enough. We've on our junior team, we had people driving an hour and a half, 4 or 5 times a week to get to our practice, to work out with the kind of the elite group. And then sometimes it's just not possible. So if you're doing that and you're a more remote athlete, we had, you know, several different states and they show up for the qualifying races. But in the meantime, in between, they were a little older, 16, 17, 18, they were disciplined. They chose the sport. So a lot of those things went away. And so they were using TriDot very successfully, qualifying for nationals, and did very, very well. So I hope all that's kind of context and useful. So I guess it really depends on the options available to you.
So once your kids are interested in Youth Tri, they're just like adults. There's a decent amount of gear and equipment that is required to do one of these. Got to have a bike, got to have a helmet, got to have some run shoes, a pair of goggles, a couple essentials and a couple add-ons. Ryan, I'll start with you on this one. As a current Tri parent, what is your advice just for getting all the gear that your kid needs and doing that in the best way possible?
Yeah, the biggest thing to remember is you're first getting into it. You don't need to go out and buy an $8,000 bike, $5,000 bike. Go to ride your Huffy, ride
you,
whatever.
You can from you. TJ. Yeah, you can. By
yeah, yeah, yeah. He would like that. but you don't need to. And it can be a big barrier for some of these kids coming out thinking they need to be on road bikes and whatnot. No, show up on your beach cruiser. Nobody Absolutely. Cares. There's going to be a ton of other kids at the race doing the exact same thing. So go out, have fun with it, learn about it. And then as you decide to get more and more serious with it, if you decide to get more and more serious with it, then you can, slowly upgrade as you go along. And if you get associated with a club, kids grow. So there's somebody always outgrowing a bike. They're always outgrowing a wetsuit that you can get for way, way cheaper than if you were going to buy new.
TJ, as you coach the younger kids, I know you probably deal with this a lot as parents are getting their kids in the sport for the first time. What are your pointers here for just accumulating the correct gear for your kid and their size and their ability?
You don't have to go buy anything. And certainly there'll be kids doing their first triathlon in swim trunks. And so that's the thing. The beach cruiser, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. I've got kids that do their first triathlon. I got kids that do my program that ride, the bike they're riding around the neighborhood and they do their triathlon training on it. Then the other gear part for the run is, you used to have to find elastic laces and teach kids how to do that. Well, you don't anymore because every shoe company, whether it's Nike or it's a Skechers, they all make kids shoes that are laceless. And so it's actually a huge advantage for kids these days is it's super easy for them to get laceless shoes and they don't cost very much money. So yeah, I think that there's a spot for everybody, regardless of your income level or of your equipment. And I think regardless of all that, the community is very giving. And that's why we have things like every first kid gets to race for free. And so there's these families that are willing to help provide equipment, even at no cost to a lot of these people, to make sure that they can do their first triathlon.
For each of you, close us down with just one story of something you encountered in your tri coaching that only happened and was only said because you were working with youth. And Jeff Boer, I'll go to you first on this.
Oh, boy. I don't know. One thing jumped out.
Okay, good.
And it was kind of very, very astute. He was 15, 16 years old, racing very well, but he saw an old coach that he'd worked with, different sport before, saw him at a race. And she came up and said, "Man, Steven, you're doing incredible. You're doing great. You've improved so much." And he goes, "Yep, I changed something. You want to know what it was?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, what's he going to say?" He goes, "I changed my attitude." And all of us, like all the adults were like, "Whoa, that's pretty deep for a 15-year-old to really." And anyway, I think it's super cool.
Very good self-awareness for a young 15-year-old man there. Maybe even more self-awareness than many adults. Ryan Nofel, as a parent, this might be a little different for you, but what is something that you've only heard or seen at the races because you are in the presence of youth triathletes?
There's a recent race. Main coach couldn't be there, and one of the athletes that really thrives with encouragement was there. And so I went and talked to her before the race. "Hey, what's your race plan? What are you looking at?" And just talking to her a little bit about tactics of the race, how it's going to play out. There's a big hill in the race. What are you planning on doing on the hill on the run? Are you going to, go slow up it and feel mentally shut down because it's a hill and you have to work? Or are you going to attack the hill and say, "I'm going to get to the top as fast as I can so I can turn around and run down this hill"? And really the biggest thing after the race, hearing her say, "Hey, that was awesome. Like that advice was exactly that helped me get through the hill and I actually attacked the hill," and having that, hearing her have that positive attitude about it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Getting to be Coach Ryan for a little bit there and with a little bit of a rewarding moment TJ Tollickson, shut us down with your kids say the darndest things triathlon moment.
All right. So I had a kid in his first year of triathlon. Of course, he's doing all the right things. He's got a bike and, you know, he's got laceless shoes and he's trying to put his shoes on as quickly as possible and transition and get out on the bike. And so as a result of that, and I've seen multiple kids do the same thing, they don't actually put their heel in their shoe, right? You know, they just like put their toes in and then run out with their bike, right? So this one particular kid's got his toes in his shoes and he's riding around and all of a sudden one shoe just flies off on the bike course, right? Like it's gone. One shoe. So then he's barefoot on one foot and on the top of his shoe on the other, like finishes the bike course and he's crying on the bike course and he's like, my shoe is gone. I don't know where it is, you know? And so I'm out there, I'm telling him, all right, just keep riding. And then he gets off the bike, he comes into transition and he's just throwing a fit because he has one shoe on and one shoe off. And I told him, listen, I said, you got a half mile run. And I know this is going to be bad because a tiny bit of this is actually on some crushed limestone. But you know what? Just take the other shoe off and run. Just take the other shoe off and run. And so we went, you know, full on pose method, barefoot running. It's good for the kids. And he finished. And what was crazy, you know, the whole lesson out of this was like just to get him to keep going, right? And that's a life lesson, right? Because things are going to go wrong. And so here I had I think he was 6 years old at the time he did this, right? So a six-year-old kid, one shoe, all of a sudden, then he finishes the bike with one shoe, and then he does the run with no shoes, right? And a little bit of that on gravel. So, you know, it's just a lesson in, hey, look, you can do it. You got to believe you can do it. You got to overcome adversity and just keep going.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
It is time for the Coach Cooldown Tip, and I'm Vanessa, your average triathlete with elite-level enthusiasm. Now, today's guest is Tri-Dot Coach Caleb Chapman, who spends his days as a controller at Detail Mold and Manufacturing, and the rest of his time occupying one of these roles. Successful triathlete and coach, husband to his beautiful wife, father to his two young daughters, congratulations on the newest addition, by the way, and a fur daddy to two dogs. Here are some other things that you might want to know about Caleb, and he is too modest to share them himself, so I'll do the honors. He is a Tri-Dot Pool School instructor, certified Ironman U coach. He competed in 2021 70.3 Worlds, has never DNF'd a triathlon. He is a true believer in Tri-Dot as his 400 meter swim time went from 6 minutes to 5 minutes, and he has had to do 3 marathons to finally beat his Ironman run time. All of that is pretty impressive, Caleb. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for that intro, Vanessa, and it's great to be back on the podcast.
And now, further to all of the awesomeness that we just talked about, you are a certified advanced scuba diver. So what is the coolest thing that you have seen while diving?
Well, my all-time favorite dive would have to be what's called a nighttime drift dive, and it was in Cancun. So the nighttime part's pretty self-explanatory, but the drift part means that you intentionally dive down to a rip current and you let it take you for a ride. So at one point you get to shut off all your flashlights and then you see the awesome bioluminescent life that lives in the ocean. Yeah, it looks like there's stars all around you. So you're just getting carried by the current, looking at these stars underwater. It's a pretty cool sight.
Now, one more title that you hold is Core Body Temp Coach. And I think this has something to do with the tip that you're going to share with us today. So tell us what it is.
Yes. So today's tip is to train hot and race cold. So this all started from my experience living in Texas, where summer races can easily be 90 degrees Fahrenheit by 9 a.m. So I struggled big time in the heat, and I realized that I can't be the only one. So I wanted to help others who are like me that don't just excel in the heat. So it starts with a core body temp sensor, and I provide these to my athletes so we both get an idea of how their body responds and performs in the heat. So everyone is different. But it shows you your actual core body temperature. So some athletes can easily push up to 104 degrees Fahrenheit and keep going. but others suffer at 102. But you get to see this on your watch real time. So our goal is to train the body to perform better in the heat. And you have to practice it by training hot. And there's no substitution. You can sit in the sauna or a hot tub, but that just trains your body to be hot. It's not under load. So in order to train hot, the goal is 2 to 4 weeks of every session being in a heat training zone. And we nail this down with a heat ramp test. It gives, breaks out your zones of where you perform or train or your red zone, which is over heat training. And then after that, you want to perform about 3 sessions a week with 30 or more minutes above that training zone, which for me is about 101. Garmin calls this heat adaptation, which doesn't mean you could just go run your threshold pace from the winter in July. It just means that your body has a chance to optimize its sweat rate and that perceived heat may be not as high. Then you want to race cold. And we aren't talking about your muscles being cold. You still want to do a proper warm-up. But all the little choices that you can make, apart from moving to Alaska, is stuff like wear wicking fabrics, wear light colors. I don't know if you've seen those ominous headbands, running in the shade, and just doing whatever you can from keeping that temperature from rising. Put ice everywhere, in your water, in your hat, your hands, your mouth, down your shirt, down your shorts. It seems to be a personal preference. But put water on your head. And of course, proper hydration. You pretty much can't get your core temperature to drop unless you stop or walk. So if you do have a core, don't just look at it after the fact. It needs to be something you use like heart rate to where know where your zones are and if you're in danger of blowing up your race early.
Wow. That is mind-blowing and fascinating. So I'm curious, if you live somewhere cold, how do you create this hot environment? Like the training cold part's not necessarily a hard part to recreate, but what about recreating that hot environment? How would you go about doing that?
So the best way to do it would be training indoors and putting on layers of clothing.
Okay.
So you can put on sweatpants on over that, over your normal cycling kit. For the treadmill, same thing. You can just put on layers. Don't have the fan on indoors. Turn up the heat. If you have a space here, mm-hmm. you could put that in your gym. Just make it warmer than normal, and your body temperature will rise. You'll start to sweat more than normal, and that's what you're trying to get your body to do, is create that sweat reaction.
That's crazy. Okay, so this is really amazing, and I had no idea that that going in the hot tub or the sauna had very little to do with helping you to become acclimatized to the heat. That's really interesting.
It's still a helpful thing to do, especially after a hard workout. You can add to your heat acclimation time by doing the sauna afterwards, but you still want to perform in the heat.
Okay. And how far in advance do you need to do these things? If you have like a really hot race, do you have to do this all the time, or is it just a certain period of time before the race that you're going to be doing?
Not all of the time. 3 to 6 months out, depending on how hot your race is going to be and how well you perform in the heat.
Okay. That's a long time of wearing sweatpants on your trainer.
You can get down to just 3 sessions a week of heat training.
Okay. Okay.
So you could also do your meat of your session. And then for the zone 2 part afterwards is when you could put on your sweatpants and sweatshirt to keep your core body temperature up.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great Tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize your training? Head to TriDot.com and start your free trial today. TriDot, the obvious and automatic choice for triathlon training.